Today we are continuing in James. We are in James 4, so we're slowly making our way through. And today is an interesting topic. It's kind of a hot topic in the church, and it's in regards to judging, whether or not to judge others. Some say judge others, some say don't judge others. What we have to remember is that James is written to a church full of believers. So there's several books in the New Testament that were written to unbelievers. You have Romans, where that was written to the Roman people to try to convince them that Jesus was the Messiah. You have Hebrews, that was written to the Jews to try to convince them that Jesus was the Messiah. But then there was also letters written to churches that were full of believers. So it wasn't a conversion letter. It was a get your stuff together letter. Okay, so this is what James is. It's a letter to the church. And so most of us in here would agree that we're not to judge our fellow Christians or anyone else for that matter. Amen. But are you practicing what you preach? Do we pass judgment on others without maybe even realizing it? C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, wrote about this in his book, Mere Christianity. He says this: one of the marks of a certain type of bad man is that he cannot give up a thing himself without wanting everyone else to give it up. That is not the Christian way. An individual Christian may see it fit to give up all sorts of things for special reasons, marriage, or meat, or beer, or the cinema. But the moment he starts looking down his nose at other people who do not use them, he has taken the wrong turning. So as we continue in James, he's going to make it very clear that God, and not us, is the only one that is worthy to judge. And so it's easy to say as a church, I'm not judging you. But to not judge in some capacity is bordering on the impossible. So our human nature, our natural nature, is when we see someone, we are supposed to quickly judge and then categorize them accordingly. And James is really clear when he asks, when you're doing that to someone, he says, what are you doing judging other people? Who do you think you are? God alone is the judge. And so we'll jump right into our text today, James 4, 11 through 12, and it says this: don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? And so James is saying here that our job is to be concerned with where we are in our relationship with God and let God worry about everyone else. See, my entire life has been ministry. As I've told you before, my grandpa was a pastor. He's like 800 years old, and he just retired like a couple years ago. Right? So he was a pastor. My dad was a pastor over in Galleon for almost 30 years. He's now pastoring down in Florida. And so I was basically born in the baptistry. Not really, but like, yeah, water baptism. I mean, water birth. We believe in water baptism. Water birth, you have the baby wherever you need to. But church was it's my whole life. It's my whole life. Every time the doors were opened, back in the days where we had revivals every week, and, you know, I was here. I was at the church, right? So that's been my whole life. That's what I know. And I can't tell you the amount of people that I've met who stopped going to church because of how they were treated by church people. It is by far, even to this day when I talk to other people, one of my largest ministry, my ministry field, my mission field is at the YMCA. Amen. That is one of my largest ministry fields in my ministry here in Mansfield, Ohio. But as I talk to people and I meet people, the number one reason that I hear why they've dropped out of church is by how they were treated by church people. Some were just mistreated, just people were mean to them. Some looked down on them because either their past or their present. Some were rejected because of the way they looked or the clothes that they decided to wear. But the number of people, regardless for the reason, that were turned away from Christ forever, never to put their shadow in the doorstep of a church ever again, is staggering. There's those of you that are sitting in this room right now that have been really hurt by supposed brothers and sisters in Christ. And the only reason that you're still here is because you love Jesus more than how much they hurt you. And you just decided not to give up on Jesus. I warn people every day, listen, don't base your relationship on Jesus by those you're surrounded by, Christian or non-Christian. Because if you do that, you are doomed to a life of frustration. Because people will let you down. Pastors will let you down. Deacons, board members, regular members. People will let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. So don't base your relationship in your this relationship based on this relationship. And so here we see that there must have been some similar reasons behind what James is addressing here in these two verses. So look what it says in verse 11. Let's break this down. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. So we already went through the beginning of chapter 4, but we saw at the beginning that James is describing the appropriate attitude that you're supposed to have towards God. And now, here later in the chapter, James is talking about the proper relationship that we're supposed to have with fellow believers. And so in the beginning, we love God by being humble before Him. That's what the beginning of chapter 4 says. And now we see that we love our neighbor by refusing to speak evil. And let me let you in on something that, again, church being my whole life, we can speak the truth about a person and it still be unkind. Or we may spread gossip to others that have no business knowing that particular information, and sometimes we disguise it in a prayer request. Right? We'll be in a group of women or a group of men and say, "Oh, well, God bless their soul. You wouldn't believe what." And now you've just given information to a group of people that maybe didn't need to know that information. It was true, but it should have never entered the ear gates of these other individuals. Because now they have someone that they're going to have a prayer request to. And then you see how the prayer chain can work. And then before you know it, you're looking at that person on Sunday morning going, "They should be at the altar. God bless them." It's crazy how that can work. So we have to be careful. Obviously, this can sow discord among believers, which is not right. So James uses the Greek word. I've had a good time saying this word all week. I would just randomly say it in my office, and Danny would be like, what is this guy talking about? But it's this word right here. It's kata laleo. Kata laleo. So I would just... I learned how to pronounce it with the Google thing where it tells you how to pronounce things, and katalaleo. So it sounds cool. I'd probably name a kid that. Except that it means to speak evil. Katalaleo. So it's the Greek word, and by definition, this includes destructive verbal attacks. It includes gossip behind someone's back, and it includes false accusations. This, unfortunately, church, is going on all the time. And what I need for you to do is I need for you to stop doing that. Stop talking bad about people. Stop gossiping. Stop false accusations. What happened to the adage, if you don't have anything to say that is nice, shut your trap? It's the Matt version. Stop. Stop being mean to each other. The world is hard enough. Life is hard enough. When you enter into these doors, life should be a little easier. It should be a little more encouraging. Not that we're perfect and we have it all together, but I shouldn't leave a work full of backbiters and gossipers and come into a church that's full of the same. As a pastor, I get it. I get why people are flooding the church the other way. Not coming into our doors, but leaving. Pastor, I have enough drama in my family. I have enough drama at work. Why would I come to church to deal with more drama? I get it. So we have to do better. After addressing katalaleo, you can't just say it normal, James focuses on judging and why judging is so wrong. The present tense in this verse in the Greek reveals that James is forbidding a practice that is currently going on. It's currently happening in this particular church. And so he's dealing with a real situation. And the people in this church were in the habit of criticizing each other. And so in this verse, it's the sixth and seventh time that in this letter of James, he's addressing and mentioning God's law. What is God's law? Jesus summarized all of the laws in the Old Testament with these two things. Summarize it all. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws that were in the Old Testament were brought to fruition in... Don't start this again. Did you hear that? Am I good? Okay. I just can't get too excited. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you do those two things like we're supposed to, then all of the other things will take care of themselves. If you love God and love your neighbor, you won't cheat them. You won't steal from them. You won't commit adultery with their wife. You won't murder. You won't lust. You won't covet. Because you love them. Because you love God. If we're doing it appropriately. If you love God, you will love your wife. And if you love your wife the appropriate way, then things will be easier in your marriage. So that's how we can boil all of those laws down to love God, love others. Paul says it in Romans 16. He says that love demonstrated toward a neighbor would fully satisfy the law. See, I wouldn't need to sign a contract with you if we just loved each other. I could shake your hand, I could look you in the eye and say, this is what I'm going to do. We wouldn't need a contract. And so we love others. This fulfills the law. It takes care of a lot of issues. When we fail to love, we are breaking God's law. If you really love someone, you surely wouldn't be speaking evil of that person. You wouldn't be judging that person. Leviticus, you want to talk about old law, says this. Leviticus 19, 16 through 18. Do not spread slanderous gossip among your people. Do not stand idly by when your neighbor's life is threatened. I am the Lord. Do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Hello. Do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Listen, y'all, I know you don't get to pick those. They're picked for you. But some of y'all have some issues in your family that you need to resolve. Right? I know you didn't pick them. It's not your choice. But God tells you to love them anyway. And let me tell you, life is too short to have a dispute with your brother, your sister, your father, your mom. Because they're going to be gone someday. And who knows what your last words to them have been. Being a Christian is about reconciliation. It's about forgiveness. It's about redemption. Jesus loved you when you were a dirty, rotten sinner. Amen. And so for you to make things right, some of you need to be working on that right now. As soon as we leave this building, listen, grab lunch. Even if you're right, which you probably think that you are, even if you think that you're right, humble yourself. Love God, love others. Your relatives are included in that others. Confront people directly so that you will not be held guilty for their sin. Confront people directly, not indirectly. If you have an offense toward a fellow brother or sister in Christ, which is this is what this is addressing, you go to them. You don't go to someone else and say, you wouldn't believe what they said. You wouldn't believe what they did. You wouldn't believe how they offended me. You're sinning when you do that. You're in the wrong when you do that. Go to that person directly. If you go any other route, you're doing the wrong thing. Verse 18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 says this. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. 17, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent. Abortion, hello. A heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. We here at Mission Point are family. Amen. Again, you didn't get to pick us, but when you joined our church and you became a member of Mission Point, this is what you got. God hates the person who sows discord in a family. That's what the Bible says. So when we criticize or judge others, who are we really judging? James says we're judging God's law. And if we're judging God's law, who are we really? We're judging God at that point. So aren't we really saying to God, listen, I know that you messed up here. You don't really know what's happening with this whole judging thing, but I'm going to fix it for you. I'm going to handle things my way. But the Bible is clear that judging others is not our job, but it is God's job to judge. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. This is pretty standard. If you've ever heard a message in the history of judging, you'll have heard this verse more than likely. I didn't put it up here because it's long and I didn't want you to have to get out your binoculars to see it. But it says this, do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you are using in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. How quick are we to point at someone else and say, man, that person is jacked up. They're going to the altar right now. They must be a sinner. Man, get the log, get the telephone pole out of your own eye before you start messing with other people. Look in the mirror first. So James isn't the only one that tells us not to judge. Paul says it. Peter says it. John says it. And most importantly, Jesus says it. He tells us not to judge others or we will be judged. He goes on as far as to say that the standard by how we judge will be used to judge us, which can be scary. Think about that the next time you criticize someone else. Jesus tells us to take care of our own issues before we go trying to fix someone else's problems. So why don't we do this, church? Why don't we let God be God and we'll work on being ourselves? After all, aren't we all sinners saved by grace?
Amen.
You were as lost as anything, doomed for an eternal separation from God. And he reached down and he scooped you up because he loves you and he cares about you. And more than likely, someone loved you and cared about you enough, not to judge you, not to criticize you, but to tell you about the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And then you accepted that free gift. That's how this thing we call church is supposed to work. That's the model that we're supposed to have. So rather than judging others, let's look in the mirror and fix what we see in ourselves. Because God alone is the judge. See, we can't see inside people's hearts. God can. So our qualifications to judge are not even close. Verse 12 says this in James. God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? See, this is the incredible thing about God being the ultimate judge. You want to hear something cool? His verdict will always be perfect. He will 100% of the time get it right. See, that's a far cry for how you and I would judge, right? I've talked about it a lot. Like, y'all are lucky I'm not God. Like, oh, Lord's name in vain. Hiya. I just chopped your arm off. Cut your tongue out. Guess you won't be saying my name in vain anymore. You want to do this? You want to do that? Boom. Like, I would be Zeus in it, man. Sing, sing. But God's judgment is perfect. He will always do the right thing 100% of the time. We have court systems all over the world that, depending on that judge's mood, depends on what kind of sentence that you could get. That's not always right. But you can't tell me that a judge having a bad day doesn't sit on that booth sometimes and say, or on that chair, or what do you call that, a bench? I heard that. They sit on that bench, they're having a crappy day, and they're like, all right, pal, let me just take a little bit of that out on you. Because they have an imperfect judgment, because they're an imperfect person. So we understand that God alone is both the source and the enforcer of the law. See, we as Christ followers, this letter is written to Christ followers, we are accountable to that law. We are accountable to loving God and loving others. And see, here's one thing that I want to make very, very clear. I want you to really dial in on this. These verses are not prohibiting church discipline against the member who is off the reservation, okay, and disobedience to God. This is not talking about that kind of judging. James is directly concerned with the katalaleo and judging that condemns other actions, right? Other people's actions. Because the church, let me tell you, the church doesn't need more search parties to go after and shoot their wounded. The cannibalism that happens in churches today is unacceptable and it is disgusting. You might think that criticizing a church member or spreading a little interesting gossip via a prayer request is not that serious, especially when compared to other sins. But the Bible sees it as a very serious sin because it breaks the law of love. And see, most people don't understand, especially unbelievers, they don't understand that when you break one law, you are a law breaker. You only have to break one law to be a law breaker. So your gossip and backbiting are the equivalent to murder, theft, and adultery. Unbelievers don't understand that concept that all sin is equal. If you were the only person that ever sinned in the history of humanity, Jesus would still have had to go to that cross and die for you. Because that would have been the only way that you could have gone to heaven. Because that's the only way through that perfect sacrifice that your sins can be forgiven. All sin is the same. So your little gossip is the equivalent to me going out and running someone over with a car. So examine your own attitude towards others. Do you build people up or do you tear them down? See, we often judge ourselves by a very different standard than how we judge other people. Romans 2:1 says this. You may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself, for you who judge others do these very same things. Listen, y'all, I hear a lot of times that the church is full of hypocrites. And you know what? They're right. But when I go to Cedar Point, guess what? That's full of hypocrites. When I go to the mall, slash our mall is kind of like a flea market at this point, but you go there, it's full of hypocrites. You go to the restaurant that you're going to go to after, it's full of hypocrites. But see, the world is judging us because we're supposed to stand for something. Whether or not it's fair or unfair, you're looked at with a different standard. As a pastor, whether I have more issues in Times Magazine, I'm looked at as different. I'm supposed to have at least semi-figured out and on my way. I'm supposed to have a perfect marriage and perfect kids. I have none of those things. But what we have to do is love God and love others. That's our responsibility. And if we're really working on doing that, then a lot of these other problems will take care of themselves. The Bible never asks for perfection, not even close. But the attempt and the journey and the process that is sanctification and getting better each and every day, learning how to love your wives better and your kids and your job and your responsibilities, loving them every single day, that is our responsibility. And that is how we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. See, when we look at people and we judge them, there are certain things that we can see. We can see what they wear. We can see what they do. We can hear what they say. But there are many things that we can't see. We can't see what their day has been like. We can't see the struggles that they are dealing with. We can't see the giants that they're facing. We can't see the hurt that they're dealing with. And most importantly, we can't see their hearts. We need to stop and recognize that that person might be going through something that we can't even wrap our minds around. We need to stop, and we need to come to the realization that we're not qualified to judge because we are not God. And so rather judging that person, try praying for that person. Instead of judging, we should ask God if there's anything that we can do to help that person or go to that person directly. But the answer is not speaking evil of that person, talking about that person, stabbing them in the back. Listen, leave that stuff to the world. That's going to happen. That's part of human nature. But as far as we can help it, as much as we can help it in the church, you walk through those doors, you are in a safe place. Amen. I tell my teenagers, listen, I know you got a lot of stuff going on out there, but when you walk through those back doors, you are safe. You're safe here. No matter what's going on at home, at school, whether you're getting bullied, whether you're getting bad grades, whether your parents are getting divorced, you're safe here. And that's how the church needs to be for a lost and dying world. Because if we don't love God and we don't love others, not only are we sinning, but we're doing a disservice to our community. And we're not going to be able to reach them. I promise you, you will be forever shut out if you can't display the love of God to other people around you. So as we close, praise team can come up. I'm done. Very simple and clear message for us today. Written to a group of believers that had an issue with each other. We all have issues. You got issues. I got issues. You got issues with your family, your blood family, and your church family. The Bible's saying we need to figure that out. We need to get it together. We've all been hurt. We've all been, a little ticked off at someone, right? But our job is to live differently. Our job is to display something different to a world that backbiting and gossip and slander, that's a norm. You go to your workplace, that's a norm. Whatever I got to do to get the raise. Listen, I will throw that person under a bus in a second to get that promotion. The church has to be different, or we're going to self-destruct. Satan won't even need to attack us. We will eat each other from the inside out. And I've seen it happen. I've seen churches close their doors because of internal struggles, internal battles that they just couldn't get on the same page. And so as we're thinking about back to church Sunday and we're thinking about, having visitors and new people, we're not going to display perfection. If you're looking for a perfect church, good luck. But we can be different in how we approach people and how we handle conflict and how we handle dissension. Listen, we have to love God and we have to love each other and actually really do it, not just say that we do it, not just put it on our sign, not just put it on our bulletin. We love God, we love others, we tell people about Jesus. That is our mission statement at Mission Point. So as you stand and close your eyes, bow your head, this is a time of just response. You don't have to come to the altar. You can deal with your stuff right where you stand. But sometimes it feels good just to let it all go right here. Have someone pray with you. We have people up here that will pray with you if you're hurt, or if you want to pray with someone else. You want to pray for someone else. God, how can I be a better Christ follower today? That should be your prayer. I want to be closer to you than when I woke up this morning. That should be your prayer. So as the praise team sings, we're not going to drag it out. We'll just take a moment, but examine yourself. Where are you at?